name. As I did not see the accident happen, he just came to my aid. But he told them at the time that he knew of a couple of fellas, he called them about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and told them that there's talk going around in the pool hall and the taverns in Laredo, Minnesota. A couple of guys are bragging up a storm. They saw this terrible accident, and they saw the whole thing happen, and they were kind of wondering what the heck happened to the people involved, because they wanted to know, and so on. So he told the insurance man, I don't know them by name, but he said, I can track them down, and they might talk to you. He said, the reason they didn't stop at the scene of the accident is because they had troubles with the law. Actually, I suppose they didn't want to get involved with the cops. But he said, I'm sure they know, they saw the whole thing, because they're bragging about it enough, that they might just not be reluctant to give a statement. So my insurance agent and the insurance attorney went out to talk to these. He found their names and gave them to them, and he went out and talked to them. And here's what happened, according to these two guys. I was properly traveling in an eastbound passing lane going towards Minneapolis from Rockford. When this car that I hit or hit me came at me in an eastbound lane going west at about 65, 70, or even 80 miles an hour. And these two guys said they were waiting at the intersection. There's a small intersection there. Well, not an intersection, where you can pull up. And so they were waiting for the traffic lane to clear so they could pull in. And so they saw the whole thing. They said the car that was traveling east, which was mine, they could see it. The person that was driving that car was going very slow because we were kind of hoping it would speed up so we could get our way worked into the traffic. And all of a sudden, this guy came barreling down, headlights turning up against me, and they said, I tried to turn my car to the right to get into the normal lane. I was in the passing lane, in other words. And I tried to turn my car over to the right to escape this oncoming car. And just as I turned my car, he decided to swing to the left, and he turned his wheels, and he caught me on the left front of the car as I was turning. Thereby, he impacted and turned my car a total 180-degree angle and shoved me in a spin across the median, so I came to rest facing west in a westbound lane. And he himself spun twice and ended up looking west. He spun 1.5 turns, and he ended up on a median facing west. And so therefore, it has now been established without a doubt that I was not at fault, and nobody's going to sue me. However, he said, the bad news is I can't sue nobody else if I so was inclined, because the guy that hit me was a AWL from the Marine Corps, and he claimed that he had taken a part-time job with the Dodge, Freeway Dodge, and he that night had taken a car off the lot that did not have any license plates, and he used it. He went and got drunk at the leaning post, picked up this girl that was injured in the process of the accident, and did not have a valid driver's license, was looked for from prior, before he joined the Marine Corps. There were 3 arrests out for him on drunken driving, and he now is disappeared one more time, and nobody knows where he went. So he says, no use going after him. He didn't have insurance. He's on the lam, you know. And he said, the only alternative I have is to also sue the leaning post under this dram law in Minnesota. And he said, but what he could tell is, in the past, whenever somebody filed a lawsuit against an establishment, the settlements were very minor and small, and that did not pay for the emotional tear and wear on your system and in your life and so on and so forth. He says, so why don't you just count your blessings and forget the whole thing? And so I think I'm tempted to do that. But what I like about the whole thing is that all the time, ever since the accident, I have been mulling around in my mind why I did such a terrible thing. I'm not that kind of a driver. I'm a good driver. I keep saying to myself, I'm a good driver. It shouldn't have happened to me. It's ridiculous. I have never been going in a one way and not knowing it, you know, and that sort of thing. And it's really bothered me. Now I know I didn't do wrong, and it makes me feel good about myself. And that's the most important thing, that I don't have these gnawing doubts in the back of my mind that I'm a rotten driver and so on and so forth. And nobody got killed, so that's another good thing. And so hopefully that's the end of it now. I'm fully recovered except for this one little operation still coming. And, of course, my insurance company will take care of that, so I'm not all that much worried about it. Okay, now, what else? Yesterday, Wednesday, I got an invitation to come for dinner at Beth Schwartz's house for pizza, and she called me at 10 minutes to 6, and I was sitting eating pizza myself, which I had just fixed, so I told her I couldn't come, and I figured, well, I'm going to get ready, go for bed around 10 o'clock, catch the 10 o'clock news, and then watch the Love Boat, and then go to bed. Well, 10 minutes to 10, the phone rings, and it's Lenny Rail, and he was about 3.5 sheets to the wind, and he said, well, he said, I'm lonesome, my wife is out playing cards, and he said, I had a few drinks, and I can't find anybody to talk with, and I said, I don't want to talk on the phone, it's hard on my arms. I said, from all the snow shoveling I did, my wrists are very sore, and I can't hold the receiver. I said, it's very uncomfortable, not that I don't want to talk to you. He says, well, he said, why don't we go out and eat? I says, nope, I don't want you to drive any car in the situation you're in. I said, you just go and go to bed. And I hung up on him. 10 o'clock, the doorbell rings, and there's Lenny Rail weaving into my door. He came over to have a drink. And I said, look, I said, I packed away all my booze. It's up in the attic, and the car is under it, and I'm not moving it. It's all buried, so nobody would steal it. I have no beer. I said, I can give you a cup of coffee. I said, but I'm ready to go to bed. I said, I'm not in any mood to sit around and talk. He said, why don't we go to Perkins Pancake House, and I'll buy a dessert, and I could use some coffee and a sandwich, too. And he said, why don't you do this? You're leaving for Florida, and we won't see you for 2 months, and blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, I'll go to Perkins, providing I drive your car. So I got in his car, and I drove him to Perkins, and we went in, and from 10:15 until 12 o'clock midnight, I got 1.5 pots of coffee into him. By that time, he was sober enough. Then I ordered him a sandwich. I had strawberry roll-ups and a patty sausage, and then at 1:30, I drove to my house, and then I asked him to unlock the door to see how he walked, and he functioned very well, and then I sent him on his way. So his wife called me this morning and thanked me.